Good morning, everybody. I'm a little, would you say tsarud in English?
Hoarse.
Whatever. And so I cannot shout today. Not that I shout normally, but
you
okay.
Don't have to.
Okay. We are Parashat Kitavo. Vaya Kitavo, when you come to the country that I gave you, what is the first thing you have to do? Velakachta mereshit kol pri adama. This is the mitzvah of Bikurim. We all know this mitzvah. You take the first fruit from the seven sivat aminim, not every fruit.
Species.
No, from the seven species.
Yes.
Not say shechianu. You keep it for the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You bring it to the temple.
Oh, no.
That's the bikurim. So the first question is, as we always say, the Torah is not a story, and the Torah is talking to us today. And today there is no temple. So we haven't got the mitzvah of Bikurim. So what is the meaning today of the Bikurim? The real truth is that Bikurim always, not only now, also in old times, meant a very simple idea. You know, a guy goes to the field. He puts a seed in the earth. He looks after it. He waters it. He nourishes it. He cuts it. And it takes time till it grows and he's got the first fruit. So what will be the first thing for a guy that puts so much effort into growing this tree? He would like to taste the first fruit. But instead of tasting the first fruit, he's keeping it for God, for the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And this is a symbol of love. It's like this week I learned a very interesting thing. We don't think about it, but talking about reward for what we do in this world. And what is the reason we got to this world? So the reason we got to this world is for the neshama to do something in order to receive the reward. Because, you know, if you get something for doing nothing, it's not the same when you worked for it. So the neshama, which is a very high spiritual thing.
English.
What?
No, it's an Anglid.
Okay. So we were talking about
the neshama.
The neshama is something, let's say we, as a human being, which is a combination of a neshama and a body, we don't like to get gifts for nothing. Or we don't like to be supported. We like to do things for ourselves. We enjoy much more things that we can do for ourselves and not that people have to do for us. So the idea is that the neshama is a spiritual thing. So of course the neshama wants to do something in order to get this beautiful reward from God. So God created this whole world for the neshama to do something for the reward. But here is a very interesting question. Let's imagine to yourself that I give you $10 million for doing a job for 5 minutes.
That's crazy.
Because the neshama is ashamed. Ashamed to receive things for nothing. But if somebody is ashamed and you tell him he's ashamed to get something for nothing, so you tell him, okay, work 5 minutes and I'll give you $1 million.
Okay, so
are you going to stop being ashamed? Or you're going to be ashamed?
No,
for 5 minutes work to get $1 million?
If you get it, you give it to a good cause.
Yes. So what exactly are we talking about in this world? We come to this world for 70, 80, 90, whatever, and then we got a reward forever. So, I'm sorry to tell you, you know, that the reward's got nothing to do with the job we're doing here. The reward is so big that still the neshama might feel ashamed to get this big reward. It's like they tell you, pick up the glass, I give you $1 million. Okay, so what? You still will feel the same. Picking the glass or not picking the glass, because $1 million for pick up a glass is stupid. And the same thing is, the reward we're going to get for doing the mitzvahs in this world is for eternity. It's unbelievable. So, what is the balance? How does it work? The real truth is that if we think like this, we miss the point. The point is love. When two people love each other, they give each other. And it doesn't matter what they give each other, because they do it from love. In other words, if somebody who loves you gives you $1 million and you love him back, it's not I'm ashamed that somebody that I love gave me $1 million. He loves me and I love him. In other words, our job in this world is not for the reward but for the love of God. This is our job. And the minute we get to the level of loving God, it doesn't matter what we did and how many mitzvahs we did and how big is the reward, because the reward is not cause to be ashamed, because we're doing it because of love, because we have a good relationship with God. When a father gives his son, and we give a lot to our children, are they ashamed to take? Unfortunately, not only they're not ashamed to take, sometimes they ask for more and more.
That so, is a rhetorical question.
Exactly. So if our Father in heaven is our Father, our real Father, and we love him and he loves us, in other words, if he gives us whatever he gives us, we feel good about it, because he's not giving it to us as a reward for something we did. He's giving it to us because he loves us and because we love him. So the whole idea is showing love. And Bikurim is one of the best mitzvahs. It's called Bereshit. That's the first thing. Because in Bikurim, you give the first thing to God. Like, for example, if you give to a kid a toy that he wants very much, and you give him as a present a toy, and the first thing that we would think that the child is going to do is open the present and start playing with it, because he really wants it. But imagine to yourself that this child is opening the present and he comes to you, to his parents, and asks you, you be the first to play with. What will be the feeling now? That's Bikurim. To give the first thing to God. And the symbol for it is you work for something that grows and it takes time. And after you put so much into it, the first fruit that you really want to taste, you don't touch it, because you give it to the one you love more than anything, to God. Now when God sees this, what does he feel? This is the best way to come into the gates of the first year, of the new year. This is getting into Rosh Hashanah in the right way. Give God the first thing. What is the first thing? When you wake up in the morning, what do you say? Odeh ani lefanecha. Yes.
We ask him every day. We ask every day.
And you should ask.
Yeah.
And you can ask. But open the first thing, you have to show God that you love him. So when you wake up in the morning, what do you say? First of all, I thank God. You know, before you even start anything, you should pray first. It's like this guy came to his rabbi, he says, what do I do when I'm praying, especially on Shmoneh Esrei, where I get all those strange thoughts in? So the rabbi told him, if you wake up 5 o'clock in the morning and run to shul and daven, and then you have strange thoughts, it's a problem. But when you wake up 8 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock in the morning, you go down to have a coffee, and then you read the paper, and then you go slowly to shul, and on the way you talk with all the friends you meet, and you're davening and you're thinking about other things, this is not strange thoughts. This is where you are. And that's exactly the idea. You know, when you come to God, this is why our sages tell us, first of all, you daven. First of all, you pray to God. Why? Because when you start with your daily things, everything is already mixed, you're involved, and then your thoughts are not on davening and the connection between you and God. Your thought is, let's finish it and go on with my daily duties or whatever. It's like I told you before a few times, I had this friend davening near me, came with his child, and when they finished davening, he says to his child, okay, can we put a V? And I told myself, Baruch Hashem, this is the way you educate your kid, to put a V? You should connect yourself to God. This should be a privilege. This should be a good thing. So what are you showing your child? That it is a duty like all the other duties in life. You have to do it. And after you did it, okay, let's go and have fun. Our parasha is telling us about curses, really filled with curses. Unbelievable. And at the end of all those curses, the Torah is telling us, all those things are going to occur to you after telling us, if you do this, you do this, if you don't worship God with simcha. If you work God without happiness, all those curses are going to happen to you. And we ask ourselves, 1 minute, if I did mitzvahs without simcha, I should be cursed for it? I did the mitzvahs. We're not talking about somebody who is sinning or is doing bad things. I did good things. And the Torah is telling me that if I did all those good things without simcha, I'm going to get punished. I'm going to get cursed. What is the logic behind it? The thing is, if you think about it, why do we do the mitzvahs? As we said, the basic is love. Love to God. We love our Father, and our Father wants us to do those things. So we do them from love. We don't do them for reward. We don't do them because we have to do them. We have to do them. We have to do them because we want to do them. If you understand what I mean. There is a small difference. And what's the meaning of doing them with happiness? Let's say, yeah, it's hard. You know, life is hard. And you know, wake up in the morning now for slichas. We are starting saying slichas on Motzei Shabbos. We start, who needs it? I've no patience. I've got no koyach. Oh, it's like... And when I do it like with a bad feeling. And you know, sometimes it's very hard to be a Jew. It's hard to be a Jew. No, I'll keep all those mitzvahs. So if you take it as a burden, you have a problem. This is not doing the mitzvahs because you missed the point. What does it mean? Imagine to yourself that if I drink this cup of coffee, I'm going to get everything I want in life. I'm going to get $10 million, $20 million. I'm going to get life forever, eternity life.
Who wants it?
Who is going to drink the cup? Everybody. Are you going to be happy when you drink it? Of course. But now let's say that this coffee is not exactly tasty. Let's say, this one is, it's okay. Let's imagine yourself that we have to drink something very, very bitter. You imagine to yourself what it can be.
Castor oil.
Castor oil, yes. Like when we were kids, they were putting us this ugly thing. And now, it was healthy, so we did it for our parents. And now, they tell you something even worse. But they tell you, when you finish drinking it, you get eternity. If you whatever you want, you ask what you want, you can get it after you finish drinking this cup. Are you going to drink it?
No.
Sure.
Why not?
Because it's crazy.
Why? You get whatever you want.
Well, I don't need that much.
What? You want to be close to God?
Yes.
Okay, so ask to be close to God. We want to drink it now?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I say, everybody will ask whatever he wants. Now, if we understand that anything, everything we do in this world is going to give us the greatest happiness in the world. Are we going to be happy while we do it or not?
Sure.
We should be happy.
It's like I was looking at those bikers going climbing the mountains with a bike. Not except, I want to say, make sure that you understand what I'm talking about. Because unfortunately, when you go in Ranana, when other places you see electric bikes,
yeah.
Everything is with battery. Yeah. They don't put any effort in moving the bike. I'm talking about real bike,
yeah.
And I'm talking about going up. And you see those people, do you think they feel sad?
No.
Or they're happy?
No, they feel good.
Especially when they get to the top, they're very happy. Why? They're suffering now.
It's an achievement.
They don't look at it as suffering. They look at it as a challenge.
Yeah.
And if you do this challenge, wow! So this is the way we have to take life. It's a challenge that God puts in front of us. And He tells you, if you go through it, you get everything. So who is not going to do it? Who is doing a mitzvah sad? He must be stupid. And that's what God is telling us. If you do all the mitzvahs, but you don't do them happy, I don't need it. Don't do it. It's worth nothing. Because you don't understand what you're doing in this world. And this is a basic thing. Tachat asher lo avadeta et Hashem Elokecha besimcha ubetuv levav. Unbelievable. God is telling us, also in our parsha, that we are am segula. And we explained what a segula is. Segula in Hebrew is liot mesugal, to be capable. We have the capability to do whatever God puts in front of us, especially in times like this. Bikurim is one of the basics, because when we start with the right foot, when we start with the first thing, giving to God, it means we understand what it's all about, and the whole day looks different. We all know, sometimes, you're getting late to a place and you're running. For especially, I felt it. I never understood the idea. They say that our sages used to come an hour before davening, before praying, and prepare themselves for davening. Says an hour before. This is stupid. But I think we all know how it feels. If you come ready, if you come in time, so you come. And you're all praying, and the whole thing you do is with a good intention. When I came late, for example, I have to get to Mincha, for example, and it's getting very late, so I'm running to Mincha. And when I'm running, I get it in the last minute, and I go into the minute. How is my davening?
Just
the same. Say, quickly. Why? Because I'm in a rush. In other words, the first step we do means a lot.
Preparation.
That's the idea of Bikurim. The first step that we do has to be a good step, a nice step. Our parsha is an unbelievable parsha. And we have to understand and realize that sometimes people are going to look at us crazy. I wrote a few years ago a story about somebody sitting in shul and learning. People starting talking about him, that he lost his business, he's escaping from life, and instead of going to work, he's sitting in the Beit Midrash and learning. And it bothered me a lot, because the real story is, it was me sitting in shul deciding one day, and it all started when my mother died. I changed my life, and one of the things I took on myself is that I'm not starting the morning working, I'm starting the day with learning. And then there was a development, and I decided that I open the business around 11 o'clock. Until then, 10:30, whatever, I daven, and I sit and learn, and only then I go to my business. So a few years ago, I start hearing people talking behind my back that the business doesn't go, so he sits in shul, and he learns he's escaping from life. Maybe it's here and there I had bad times like everybody has, but it didn't bother me regarding I always did what I promised to do, as I told you before. You should promise, you should keep your promises. Don't take on yourself too much. And it is not that one day I decided, okay, I'm not going to work anymore, I'm just going to sit and learn the whole day. I knew I'm not this type. But I decided that there is a time you have to start doing something for God. Not only waking up in the morning, working, watching television, eating, waking, working. Not, well, no, this routine. We need to put something in this routine for God. And it has to be a part of our routine. Because that's what God wants us. And when I remember this story, the funny thing was that Baruch Hashem, our business is booming up. And we're doing, Baruch Hashem, much more business than we used to do in the past. And I still sit in shul and learn. So people can talk, and people can say, don't listen to them. Don't let it bother you when you do the right thing. Abotech be'Hashem, chesed yisurvenu. Somebody who trusts God is going to be surrounded with good things. And the more you believe, the less you have to do for this physical world. And that's the way it works. God is not telling you stop working because he says, "Bezeata pecha tocha lachem." We are cursed. And the curse is that we should go out and work for our parnasa. But how many hours? What from, I say, from the first light to the middle of the night? That's what we should do? Yeah. Of course not. You have to put things in the right proportion. And unfortunately, sometimes, and by the way, it's not that the real test is not when it doesn't go. The real test is when it goes. And you are busy. And you have to stop in the middle of the day to go for mincha. Or you're sitting and learning, and people in the business want you there. Because they need you, because the business is booming, and you have a lot of parnosah, and you have to do the business. So what do? Do you cut your learning and go to business? That's the test. No? I promised God that I'm sitting and learning in the morning, so that's what I'm doing. And when you do this, believe me, if you have a great, if you have a muna, God is with you. God is leading you in the right ways. Yes.
How do you keep the emunah constant?
I tell you, for example, in the business, and it's in life and everything, you should open your eyes and see what's happening around you. What do I mean? So, talking about learning and things, you know, you have to also practice. So if you learn and you have to work on your middle, that this morning I told an unbelievable story about the Rav Friedlander Zatzal. He was one of the Mashgiach of Ponovich, and he had the disease, the cancer. And his doctor told him, you've got 2 weeks to live, that's it. So he goes to Maran Rav Shach Zatzal, and he's sitting with other rabbis there in the room. And Rabbi, I have to ask you a question. The doctor gave me 2 weeks to live. What should I do in those 2 weeks? And everybody was crying. What a question a Jew is asking. And the Rav Shach told him, Avodat Hamidot. You should work on your Midot. How do you say Midot in English?
Good habits.
Yes, you should work on your habits, to have good habits. Because this is the job, the main job we're doing in this world. So, if we do this, and if we understand and realize what it's all about, we look at life differently. So as I said, sometimes, you know, you can round the corners. You know, somebody wants to buy a desk, a chair, and it's not 100%. Oh, so you says, it's 100%. Is that? It's a small damage, so what? This is not doing the right thing. This is avodat amidot. And it's not only in business. As I said, it's in everything in life. So in other words, if you believe in God, and you try it, because you see, you have to sometimes, okay, as you say, how do I do it? Do it. Because when you do it, you see it. If you do nothing, you see nothing. It's like we say, when do you do mistakes?
When you don't do things right.
But you have to do something. Because if you don't do anything, you don't do also mistakes. So in other words, yes, we worship God and sometimes we have our doubts. It's normal. It's no problem. No, life is not easy. We're going sometimes through difficulties. As I said, those difficulties are not here to harm us. On the contrary, they are a challenge. Just think about the Bible. As I said, always ago, I heard this beautiful mashal says, on a bike, when you go on a bike, when it's hard, what does it mean? You're going up. When it's easy, what does it mean? Going down. And when you stop, you fall. And that's life. When you feel it's hard, oh, life is not so easy. God is trying you. You are going up. Don't worry. Go through it. Fight it. And you will find out that you get to the top. If it's too easy, start getting worried. Cannot be. We're not in this life to have it easy. We're in this life to work. Stop working. Finished. You fall. It's just like, you see it in life, and people stop doing things. They fade. They fade away. Especially when you get older. You know, if you've got nothing to occupy you, as I said always, when you look at people, like we're sitting in a shoe, it gives you life. If somebody's got, the only thing he's got on his mind is stupid things, there comes the age that a lot of those stupid things, you cannot do them anymore. So what do you do with your life? How do you fill it up? So if you fill it up with believing, with doing mitzvahs, with learning, how do you feel? This is worshipping God in simcha. But I'm working, I'm doing things. Yes. My mother-in-law, she's in this committee, in the other committee, in the other committee. And she's got a lot of friends and she's all the time busy. Is it wrong?
No.
God, that's life. That's why we're here. Doing good things. Now, if you do those good things, you will see that all the obstacles in life suddenly don't look so bad. Suddenly you understand and you look at it in a different way. And this is exactly the idea of understanding what do we do in this world. And understanding that this life is not the real life. The real life is the next world. That's real life. Here we are, it's like you have a pilot before he goes on a plane, you've got this simulator that you go in and you do like you...
crash landing.
Yes. And you do all the tests and all the things. Now, when you go out of simulator and you go to real life, you can say, well, there is no connection between this was not real to the real. Can you say a thing like this?
No.
On the contrary. This simulator gave you the tools to deal with the real life. This world is a simulator. We want to go to the real life, which is outside the simulator. Now, if instead of this pilot learning in the simulator how to not to crash, not but instead he's smoking, drinking wine, enjoying his life, he doesn't care what happens around him. When he goes out, can he go on a plane?
No.
He can, but what's going to happen is going to crash. In other words, if we in this simulator, in this world, are not going to do the right thing and go through the challenges, what's going to happen us when we come to the next world? We don't know what to do there. But if we prepare ourselves in this world, and God is putting us in a simulator, some things are easy, some things are hard, but if we put it in our mind that this is not real, this is a simulator, believe me, it's going to be much easier for us. And then, when we come to the next world, we're going to have the whole thing.
But the moral of what you're saying is, prepare yourself don't depend on anyone else.
Now, let's add to it another thing. We are not alone. We are a part of a community. We are a part of Klal Yisrael. And one of the best ways to show our love to God is to love each other. In other words, as I said, my mother-in-law is in this committee and other committee. What do they do in those places? They help others.
Yes.
That's exactly the point. When we use our tools and help others, this is one of the things. When I say, Bikurim, give the first thing to God. What is the first thing to God? Don't think on yourself first, but think on the others. This is thinking about God. Because that's what God wants us to do. And now, standing, really getting closer to Rosh Hashanah, what we should do to understand and realize those points, and realize that the first thing we do, we think about God. That's Bikurim. We did Bikurim. We thought about God. This is Bikurim. God says, wow, look. And then, I wish that all of us, the obstacles we're going through, the challenges we're standing in front, are going to be much easier for us. As I always tell, I ask God to have the best tools in the world. A good family, money. Yes, why not? But to understand what is important and what is less important. Put things in the right proportion. And the right proportion is that whatever I try to do in this world is to get closer to God. And to get closer to God is love, is loving each other, is loving everybody. Bezrat Hashem. If we do this, this is the best Bikurim we can bring.